The O'Chelly Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
December 14, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. This is the show you're looking for. Hopefully, my microphone's working as it was a couple of minutes ago, but who knows? We'll figure it out momentarily. It's Wednesday, Woden's Day, middle of the week. Now, we got a couple of return visitors tonight to the show, and no show last night because Christy was busy. But it is what it is, and things are going to get weirder in the week, by the way, because we're going to do the open mic call-in on tomorrow night's show. And then on Friday, we're going to get an update about, hopefully, what the Biden administration will release regarding the JFK documents, because that deadline occurs, guess what, tomorrow. And we'll see what level of transparency we get. Okay. I'm not in the chat room at O'Chelly.com, but we do have that if you're hearing us live. But that would only be on the 14th day of December. So there you go. Anyhow, who do I have with me in the first hour tonight? Ricky Verandez, the guy from The Ripple Effect, also Union of the Unwanted. Geez, you don't know who Ricky is. You know, welcome to my show, first of all, and maybe welcome to the Internet. Because he's around. He's definitely around. Interesting guy. Different delivery from mine. Different energy for sure. Always like talking to him. Ricky, how you doing tonight?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, Chuck. And thanks for joining us Monday on the Union of the Unwanted. It was the last end of the year episode, and it's always fun to kind of see what all the different people and characters bring to the table and what topics get sparked and whatnot. So thanks for always joining us. And of course, your buddy Nature Boy joined us too, Dave, which was awesome. And, you know, I really appreciate you guys joining us. If you guys haven't checked it out, please check out The You've Done Wanted. It's my other show I host with Charlie Robinson, Sam Tripoli, and Midnight Mike from the OBDM show. And it's always a blast. And you'll hear Chuck and Nature Boy from time to time on the show. So definitely check it out.
A lot of fun, a lot of people, though, so you never know what you're going to get there. There's a random mixing. It doesn't seem as though there is a parliamentary procedure, at least not so. That's not the way I took it. I mean, maybe I'm crazy because I kind of just jumped in a couple of times there. But it seemed like that was happening unless somebody was being directly addressed. It was like, what the hell? If everybody's like sort of polite, randomness and people that are familiar with having to share a microphone. It just sort of works out, which is nice. But you and Charlie frame it perfectly, so it's great. Of course, Charlie Robinson's also another interesting guy, macroaggressions, all that stuff, the octopus, checking my archives for Charlie Robinson. If you don't know already, again, welcome to the show, welcome to the Internet. But, you know, it's an interesting time, man. And I always love these year-end kind of let's assess the damage. You know, let's assess the damage. Let's see where we're going next. The calendar is going to change. Is anything else going to happen? I love that, first of all. And it's kind of fun going over there and doing that Union of the Unwanted thing. Plus, it's got the most perfect title. And did I ever ask you who actually came up with that?
I don't know, but it's actually a question that people asked quite often because it is such a great title. And how it happened is that in early during the lockdown, sometimes from time to time I would get I'd love doing swap casts and gathering a couple guests together and kind of just bouncing ideas off each other. I feel like, I don't know, you know, like when you have a group of people, like everybody can bring a little bit of a different type of perspective or research or just something different to the table. And it's fun to kind of, you know, brainstorm together. And so I would do that from time to time. And during 2020, during the lockdown, I was doing that. And I do it less now because now with the Union of the Unwanted, that's kind of where I give people those type of shows. And then the Ripple Effect podcast is more of a one-on-one, more intimate show. But one Friday night, it was Midnight Mike and Charlie and I just kind of emailed a few people about like, hey, do you want to get together and have a discussion, to hang out and talk. And like I said, this was early during the lockdown and the COVID stuff. So obviously there's a lot to talk about, and I wanted to gather people to kind of see what was going on and what they thought was going on, and their where their research was taking them. And then it just happened that it was me, Mike, Charlie, and Sam all together on a call. And, it, you know, that's who ended up showing up. And it was the four of us talking and discussing. And then we were talking about censorship and getting kicked off YouTube and getting kicked off Twitter, and people who were just getting censored and shadow banned all over the place. And so Mike, out of nowhere, says, yeah, we're kind of like the union of the unwanted. And he was referring to the alternative media community that we were talking about. And we didn't know what we were going to do with that title, but we told Mike immediately, we're like, hold on to that. Like, somebody write that down, because there's a ring to it that we really like. So he ended up buying the URL during the podcast. He's like, I just bought the URL. He's like, just in case we do something with it. And then we did after that show, we talked about doing another similar show where we gathered some people and talked about the lockdowns and censorship and all that stuff. But let's gather a bunch of people from the alternative media community. So it was kind of like the first official Union of the Unwanted. And we were going to call the episode the Union of the Unwanted. And basically, we were all going to release it on our own podcast feeds. And we had like Ben Swan, we had Luke from We Are Change, we had Corbett. You know, I just gathered everybody that I knew that, you know, I thought I could get the last second. And luckily, it was just like a lot of people ended up showing up, surprisingly. And we put together this giant show. And then I really enjoyed it, and I was texting Sam, Charlie, and Mike. I'm like, hey, we should do this on a regular basis. So then we started doing it, and it was initially just a special episode that I would release on my feed, Charlie would release on his feed, and everybody would kind of release on their own feed, and like kind of like a swap cast. But and then eventually, like, it just got so big and so popular that we're like, you know what? Like, this thing needs to be its own thing. And Sam's actually the first one who I think we're all kind of thinking that. But Sam was the first one that officially proposed that in a group text message. He's like, hey, we should make it its own show. And so luckily, that's kind of how it started. And it was really just a gathering of people from alternative media community that were being censored for the sake of trying to figure out how we're going to handle it. We're talking about like which alternative media platforms people were using, what type of issues they were dealing with, and all this type of stuff, and trying to figure out, you know, how to deal with the censorship during the COVID lockdown, because at that time, obviously, many of us were getting locked or censored. And it was a crucial time because this was information that people needed to hear and needed to see. And so we were just trying to do our part and trying to figure out how to resolve that and bypass all the censorship. So, yeah, that's kind of the origin story.
Right. Okay, cool. Look, so Midnight Mike is essentially the guy who first uttered it and came up, because it's such a perfect title. I mean, the moment you mentioned it, I didn't even know what it was. And I was just like, yeah, I want to be on that. Just because of the title, you know, because one thing for sure, if you're doing something that is actually outside of the typical mainstream narrative, and you're not just, you know, doing some fanboy crap out there, you know, as a podcaster, one thing you're guaranteed is some level of resistance to your material. And so it just makes perfect sense that would be the Union of the Unwanted, because that's what you end up coming up with. Which is funny, because at various times, I'm sure, each of you went through different phases of this, and it might not have been simultaneous. And in fact, on this last one that you did, there was a bit of a discussion about the change in the Twitterverse, right, and what's going on over there. And some people got reinstated and some people didn't. And it's sort of a bit chaotic at the moment. Now, the funny thing is, I don't want to curse myself here, Ricky, but Twitter's probably the only platform I have not been seriously challenged on. Okay. Every other platform, I've gone to, you know, Facebook jail. I've gone to being banned, prove your identity, screw you. You're actually breaking medical protocol, blah, 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 blah. Everything, everywhere, including Apple, and even Reddit gave me a hell of a time with stuff. And Twitter has not bothered me. I think it's because I never took Twitter very seriously. I mean, I cross-promote people and stuff, but outside of that, I don't make a lot of original statements on Twitter, and it's one of the few platforms that I've never been censored on. And I thought I said a few things that were probably a little out of line, and but I don't know. Maybe I'm just not big enough on Twitter, and that's cool. You know, it's good enough. Because if you get to a certain size, I think you get the target on your back. Right?
Well, that's true, but there's also, you know, I thought that was the case with YouTube and a lot of these social media platforms, but there's people who had smaller shows than mine that were getting kicked off YouTube before I was, and I'm like, wait, how am I still on? And they're, you know, they're off, because that was kind of my first, first, I guess, explanation of why I haven't been kicked off YouTube was like, oh, maybe I'm just smaller. Are small enough where I'm going under the radar, and I never monetized, and I always made sure I said that it wasn't kid friendly, so that way I was trying to stay off the radar. And but smaller shows were getting censored, and same thing on Twitter, where it's just like, I thought it's like the size, but then you hear about people who have smaller Twitter followings, and they're getting censored. So I don't know how you get on the radar or what, you know, ends up catching their attention. But I'm like you, I don't really use it to put my opinions out there. You know, you're probably like me, where you're at that age where it's just like, I'm not going to waste time getting in arguments with people. I do enough talking on my podcast that if somebody really cares about my perspectives or opinions, they should listen to it long form, the way that it should be, listened to and understood. You know, doing a little tweet, it's like you're getting a small portion of my overall opinion or perspective on something, and it could be misunderstood, it could be, you know, taken out of context. So it's, to me, it's like, you know, if you really care about what I think or my perspectives or opinions, like, here's a long form conversation with a guest and where we explore ideas, and that's the way people should explore ideas. It's a long form conversation, like, what, you know, the work that you do, my show and many other shows like ours, and not just a little tweet. So I know some people are really good at just kind of pissing people off, because getting engagement does help get you more attention, and the algorithms work in your favor, and you see that. But for me, it's like, I just don't have time for that. You know, it's like, why do I want to get in little? It's like, here's my new episode with this guest. Here's some topics that we talk about, and that's it. You really care about what I think, you can listen to it. If you don't, then that's fine too. But, you know, I'd rather have a long form discussion with somebody than like going back and forth on Twitter. So, some people who spend a lot of time doing that, it just boggles my mind. Sometimes you hear Rogan talk about his friends who, you know, are just addicted to replying to people or whatever. And Rogan talks about how he just posts and goes away. And that's kind of what I do. Like, I don't read comments, usually never, but every once in a while, maybe I'll read something just in case, like I'm missing somebody who's saying something really nice and I want to, you know, just reply to them and thank them for listening to the show. But typically I kind of ignore all that, because it really is just kind of a little bit of a waste of time. So I use it as promotional tools, and that's it. What Elon Musk is going to do with Twitter, I don't know. I mean, there's things that he does that are great. You hear about, like, okay, you know, he's given this person their Twitter feedback, he's given that, but then you hear about other people that he has it. But he's Elon Musk. He runs like 12 companies. Who knows, like, how much attention is going directly to just what's going on Twitter. I'm sure there's billions of people that have been censored or canceled. He can't individually go through every single one and decide, oh, let me reinstate, you know, this person, that person, whatever. So who knows? But I definitely don't think he's a good guy either. You know, he, like I've said on many episodes before, you know, he's constantly talking about the dangers of artificial intelligence, but then 2 seconds later, he's talking about his new artificial intelligence that he's working on, and how he's kind of helping out with that progression. And he's a hard read. I'm one of those people, like I said on Monday's Union of the Unwanted, just because I don't think he's a good guy, doesn't mean that if he does something that I think is good, I'm going to bash him. You know, I know, like, Steve from Slow News Day, I love Steve, but he was like, oh, you know, like, everybody knew what Matt Taibbi was saying, and all the Twitter files, everybody kind of knew. It's like, well, some people, a lot of people in the alternative media community, of course, but there's a lot of normies who don't know this stuff or don't know the extent of it. And when somebody like Matt Taibbi, who isn't, you know, for lack of a better example, like Alex Jones, who people might dismiss right away, when Matt Taibbi is telling you that, like, hey, they're shadow banning people, they're controlling what's trending, what's not trending, they're controlling hashtags, they're controlling everything, every aspect of the social media platform, then it kind of gets people's attention that maybe wouldn't have paid attention if it was somebody else saying it. So, and the more people who say it, the better. I mean, similar thing with like Edward Snowden. When Edward Snowden came out, a lot of people in the alternative media community, I mean, one, people thought, you know, obviously there's always that it's a psyop, or he's, you know, a limited hangout or whatever, that he, you know, he's not who we think he is or whatever. But at the end of the day, like, there's a lot of normies that got that information through Edward Snowden and Glenn Greenwald. And because of, you know, those people being more mainstream, kind of put in perspective how dangerous this, you know, the spying and all that type of stuff is, and how bad we're actually being manipulated. And, you know, I've had this guy, I don't know if you know who he is, Dr. Robert Epstein. He's been on Rogan's show also, but he's he has a company, a firm, and all they do is analyze social media platforms, big tech companies. Specifically, a lot of his focus is Google. And all he does is analyze exactly what they're doing and how they're manipulating people. And it's just like, it's insane. Like, every little thing is nothing's organic. Everything's being manipulated. Everything's being controlled. Everything's being analyzed. They know exactly what to do or what not to do, or how to spin something or not spin something to change your perspectives and opinions. And basically, it's social engineering. So for me, I think, like, regardless who the messenger is, if the message is important, you know, then I'm all for it.
See, that's the part that cracks me up, though, is you use the and look, I'm not criticizing you, because you are very articulate. You're one of these people. The reason why you existed on YouTube longer, which is why I existed. And people asked me for a couple of years, how come you're not getting banned on YouTube? I said, look, it's coming. OK, but the thing is, I have the sense to speak in such a way that it is a little different, okay? Yes, some of my guests say some things, and I say some things that are exactly like some of the people that are getting banned, but I'm putting it in a certain linguistic basket. And the thing is, I'm very careful about that, and so are you, okay? So you got to exist there a little longer, so did I. And I've gotten removed and reinstated on platforms too, whereas other people just got permanently banned. That was the end of it. I couldn't recover the YouTube this time, because that's it. They removed all those mechanisms that I was able to use in the past. Okay, but it's almost not relevant, because here's another funny thing that I heard. You used the word organic just now, right? And I find it. I had to smirk. I'm like laughing a little bit, not at you, but at the idea that anybody thinks that something that's on the internet can be organic. It's like, well, they just need to let this be organic. This should be organic. I'm cracking up. What is wrong with somebody who's thinking that, of course, this is all manipulated? This is a giant online game. Okay? That's what it is. Yes, indeed. You can glean a great deal of good information. If you want, but you could learn good information even from, you know, the Hollywood productions and the television shows, the mind control. You could pick up a world of information from those things if you choose to. It's about the use of the tool. But there is no such thing as organic in the internet world. There never was. You know, like, I find that funny. And I also find it funny that there are people that pick and choose what they like from the Elon Musk, you know, statements and moves in the past and everything, failing to recognize that Elon Musk's entrepreneurship, okay, always comes with a whole lot of, and I know this is going to piss some people off, government support. He is subsidized by the government constantly. Okay? And it doesn't matter if it's the electric car, the payment system, or whatever. He gets subsidies, not in the direct sense that some, you know, like if you're a Boeing or something, which I found that interesting this week, that story that just sort of came and went real fast, where, you know, it's like, hey, they're ordering a whole bunch of planes and we're going into a recession. What the hell? I'm not surprised. Okay. Because they're not part of the rest of what we suffer. You see? It's a different world. And even their CEO does this little publicity tour, right? you know, comes out and says, hey, look, you know what? The economy doesn't look to me the way it is. I hear about it on television. He just told you a massive piece of truth. Right on CNN, NBC, every one of those alphabet, you know, greater corporate media outlets possible. He just told you the truth. And nobody will listen to it because it's like, ah, it's garbage. They always lie. You got to be able to have discernment about this stuff. There's a lot of things that can be gained from the static. You can find a whole lot of great information. Even on Twitter, where there is a lot of gamesmanship, a lot of garbage, a lot of nonsense. And ever since he took over, by the way, I'm getting slammed with, you know, pornography and the online prostitutes that are out there. You know, come and see me on my cam. I'm getting slammed with that stuff way more than I ever did before he took over. And I find that funny. But I also find it funny that, you know, like the MSM is like, oh, ever since Elon Musk took over, hate speech has increased. And it's like, okay, here we go. What can we learn from what's happening here? And I hear no one just simply taking the simplest answer, using Occam's razor. What is the simplest answer to what it is we're trying to analyze here with Musk and all this? And I want to move on from Musk after this. But, you know, you say what you want about it after this, but let's move on. Because I don't even want to keep giving this attention. And you know why? Because that's the intent. And the other part of the intent, just like he's reinstating that whole, you know, you can buy your blue check mark now. It'll be a lot easier. It's not all these other, you know, where it seemed like, you know, you could legitimately be yourself on there, right? You were a verified person. And if you're a verified this kind of person, you get a gray check. And you're this kind of person, you get a blue check. And if you're this kind of person, right? All he's doing is what he always does, which is take one of these companies, when he comes in, something that he didn't develop, right? And by the way, I'm loosely using the phrase he developed here. But on occasion, he develops something. His people, his, you know, corporate entity develops something directly. But when he comes in on something later, he doesn't develop it and, you know, actually create the core. He adds to it, he dresses it up, and he does what any good real estate hustler would do, which is fix up the house and then sell it for more. You know, put in the minimum there. You know, go use the furniture you got in storage. It makes the place look nicer. You know what I mean? Hang the nice pictures on the wall. Make it look homey so that, you know, somebody's going to want a home. Or make it look like it's more whatever it's supposed to be as a property. Dress it up. Add a couple of features. And then resell it. This guy's not going to hold on to Twitter forever. It's not going to happen. And even if it sort of seems to on paper, this isn't his main concern either. Okay? But all the attention that we are paying to him, all the attention the MSM is paying to him, again, when you see everybody lining up to pay attention to something, okay, the government, the media, the alt media, you see the so-called rebels who want to live outside of society. They're also focusing when everybody has their attention turned to something all at the same time. Okay. Unless it's like, you know, a hole in the universe, something that we, you know, would have no choice about. That's always something that's been orchestrated. And it's either been orchestrated by somebody who is looking to take advantage of it on a corporate level, or it's being done as a bit of engineering, not necessarily all of the engineering, but a bit of the engineering that goes into keeping the society coherent for those that actually control it. So it's one of those two things that's happening here. Because there's nobody that I know that isn't in some way, even if they don't understand Twitter and they don't know Elon Musk or whatever, there's almost nobody I know that's not talking about this. There's almost nobody I know that's not paying attention to this on some level, whether they care about Twitter. It's actually like the global town square. And again, it's a business. It's a business that's based on something that doesn't even really fully exist in the physical reality. So it's great. You know, I love it. They can sell you things, tell you it has value, and you buy it, and you never put a single thing in your own hand. It's brilliant, but also, again, how do you expect any of that to be organic? Anyway, I don't know. These are my just random thoughts about it, Ricky. Maybe I'm nuts. What do you think?
No, I think you're making a really valid point, and you're absolutely right. I mean, I assume everything I see on the internet is probably not organic. You know, that's kind of my assumption on everything that I see online or any social media platform. And I know you want to move on from the Elon Musk thing, but just for listeners who might want to learn a little bit more about his history, a friend of mine and you know, I'm sure somebody you're very familiar with too, James Corbett, did a great podcast/little documentary on him. It was episode 429. It was Meet Elon Musk, and it's about his whole history and how he made his money and all the sketchy things about that. And there's also a good book called Ludicrous about Elon Musk, which is kind of about how all his business practices are basically pyramid schemes, and how he basically tells you, like, hey, put a down payment or pre-order this thing that we haven't developed and we don't have yet and you can't physically get yet. And then everybody, all the pre-order money goes to developing the last thing that he just sold you on, and how it continues kind of with that cycle. And you see that, right, with the truck, right? He made a big deal about the truck and did this whole thing, and everybody pre-ordered one, and nobody's gotten one yet. And so he's, yeah, I mean, it, without a doubt, it's a business. I don't know if morally, you know, if that's even a concern of his, like trying to morally do the right thing. It is nice to see things like when he tweets that I think something about Fauci going to jail or whatever, something like that. I'm like, yeah, that's great, you know. But again, like we talked about the Union of the Unwanted on Monday, one thing that's, you know, kind of I don't give him credit for, and I don't give like Tim Pool and some of these guys credit for, is the fact that when you and I were openly talking about what was going on during the COVID lockdowns and trying to give people real information when it was the hardest to do so because we're being censored and we're getting in trouble on social media platforms and YouTube, and we're causing just arguments because everybody was getting so emotional about these topics, we were outspoken. And now, you know, it's 2022, at the end of 2022, and now he says something about Fauci going to jail. It's like nobody cares, right? It doesn't. If he said that during the height of a lockdown, when Fauci's on TV every day, then it might open some eyes. But like, you know, now he's just saying it when it's easy. Same thing with Tim Pool. Like, he says it when it's easy. When it was difficult or there was some backlash for saying these things, you didn't see them step up. So, you know, yeah, it's you know, it's like a lot of these characters. It's like you don't. I'm kind of undecided about him. I mean, for the most part, I don't trust him. Just like we said, nothing on social media or TV is organic. So I don't know what persona they're trying to develop or convince me of. So I'm always skeptical of that. But at the end of the day, I guess it's, you know, he's at least better off being the owner than the old owners, because Twitter was definitely worse. But people need to go to these alternatives, or, you know, or make Twitter accountable for everybody. I know people made a big deal about Ye being Kanye West being kicked off Twitter. And they're like, well, what happened with free speech? If Kanye West gets kicked off, then obviously Elon Musk doesn't believe in free speech. But I mean, yeah, I guess that's a good argument, but Kanye West seems like he's purposely trying to get banned off every platform. I mean, he can make some points. You talked about, and I appreciate you saying that the way I explain things is an artistic way, or however you expressed it, but Ye does the complete opposite of me, I think. He just goes completely off the rails, and he might make some decent points from time to time, but in between all those decent points is a lot of gibberish and just like over the top stuff. And so that's another interesting topic, you know, just like, okay, well, is there a line to be drawn? Like, should there be a line? But Twitter's, you know, Twitter had fucking child, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to swear, but Twitter had child porn on there for a long time, and that's why I swore, because it's frustrating that they had child porn, they had regular, you know, adult porn, they had all type of crazy stuff on Twitter, and then you're banning people for ideas and opinions. And, you know, so to me, like, that's the stuff that's really frustrating. And even Matt Taibbi said that he was searching for evidence of, like, shadow banning people from the left and people, you know, from that ideology, and they couldn't really find any evidence of it. So it's like, it's quite obvious that they had an agenda and that they were pushing that agenda and that ideology. And the thing is, like, behind these social media platforms are people, and the software developers and engineers and the people who are deciding what to ban and not to ban, they're not neutral parties. They also have opinions. They also have perspectives, and that will be an influence in the decisions they make. And also they have ties to the CIA and, you know, intelligence and all that type of stuff. So it's like, you know, like you said, nothing online is organic.
And, you know, and in defense of Musk, though, I do find it interesting that he's going to try and create an integrated platform, maybe. See, and why do I say maybe? Because point is, as you so astutely point out, repeatedly what the guy does is create the myth or the mythos of what he's going to make something into, and then he sells it. Okay, he sells it or he creates a customer base for it, and then the people that are stuck with that wait while that thing is supposedly going to happen, right? And it doesn't matter if it's a truck or if it's Twitter, which I think is part of the game that's being played here with this new, you know, like you can subscribe to this and that, the extra subscriptions, make no mistake, at $8 a month even, right, for a whole lot of people, that is a perfectly solid business model when you have so many people engaged on a platform. You know, it doesn't take a lot. Even $1 a month would be a wonderful piece of business to directly have a cash turnover that doesn't necessarily need to be reinvested. And it's just an interesting thing to watch. And I say, yeah, people keep watching it, but for those that expect this to be your hero, I don't know. There was clearly a leftist sort of, you know, bias in Twitter. But then again, it always seemed to be shifting, too. Because like you said, it was like, wait a minute, wouldn't these people be a little bit upset about the open pornography, which, by the way, came in all flavors at one point? It seemed like there was no limit to that. I mean, stuff that, you know, you wouldn't even care about, really, that you'd almost find comical, too. Like you said, clearly underage girls, things like this that, you know, again, this is just stuff I was able to see. And I wasn't even looking for it. This was stuff you would trip across, you know?
Well, Chrissy Mayer, I don't know if you know the comedian Chrissy Mayer. I think she's on The Blaze now, but she's been on The Humans Unwanted a few times, and I've been on her show. She has a Chrissy Mayer podcast. But I remember at one time she was, like, really just active with, like, she was sharing pedo accounts, and she was like tweeting it, and she's like, why are these accounts still up? I've been reporting them. And then you would read the comments and everybody's like, yeah, I've reported this account too. Why is this still up? Why is this still? And it's like, those are accounts that should be cut and dry. Like there's no, oh, let's look into this. There's no investigation that's needed. Like just shut down those accounts. If there's any possibility of underage children, you know, then why are they still? So, you know, that type of stuff would drive me nuts, because it's like, wait, how is this stuff on your platform? And yet you're censoring who for what? You know, and I don't even have to agree with them. Like, you know, the way I look at it is, and of course, you know, most of your listeners would agree with this and already know this. But like, I tell normies all the time, I'm like, listen, I'm like, the freedom of speech is for unpopular speech. Popular speech doesn't need protection. So it's like, you not liking something doesn't mean that they're right to state their opinions and perspectives should go out the window. Like, that's just silly. That's the whole point of the freedom of speech thing, is like, that whole idea is to protect people from sharing their ideas, regardless if they're popular or unpopular, if you like it or don't like it, they have the right to share it. And because once you have these thought criminals where it's like people are afraid of expressing their opinions because now they're going to be censored or banned or, you know, they're not going to have access to their bank accounts. That's like same thing with Andrew Tate, Kanye West, like all these people that it's like you don't have to agree with them. It has nothing to do with like what opinions they may have or what you do or don't agree with. It has to do with the fact that like they're stating their opinions, regardless how ridiculous or outrageous they might be. Like they're stating their opinions. They should not lose access to a Uber or a Airbnb or even worse, like their bank account. You know, like Andrew Tate overnight didn't have access to anything. And it happened initially with Alex Jones and you know, Trump, same thing. Like, overnight, like, they just removed him from everything. And I'm like, this is concerning, regardless if you like these people or not. Like, it's concerning because big tech can all collude together and just erase you from the face of the earth. And, I mean, obviously, I mean the face of the internet, but that's where a lot of people spend their time and get their information. So if they remove you from all those platforms at once, like, for a huge percentage of the population, you've kind of disappeared from the face of the earth. So, you know, that should be concerning to people. The people who weren't concerned about that, to me, like, I couldn't understand. Like, you're not worried about this? Like, eventually it'll be somebody you like that's going to be censored. Eventually it'll be somebody that you think, you know, has a opinion that should be heard or whatever, and they're going to be censored because whoever's in power or whoever's running the platform is going to decide that they don't like their opinion. And to me, like, that's one of the biggest issues ever, because you fight bad ideas with good ideas, but you share all ideas and you explore all ideas. Anytime somebody's censored, I'm only more intrigued with their research and their perspectives. I remember when I had Michael Millerman on. He's a professor from Canada. He kind of was his claim to fame was that he was the first person to translate Alexander Dugin, the Russian philosopher. Some people call him Putin's brain. He's a big influence on Putin, and they call him like one of the most dangerous philosophers. He was the first person to translate Alexander Dugin's books to English, and I remember when I first started getting into Alexander Dugin and Michael Millerman, and I'm like, who are these people? And I'm like, Alexander Dugin, I'm like, the most dangerous philosopher? Like, he's censored? He's been censored? Like, the second I heard that he's been censored, I got more intrigued with him. Like, well, let me go see why he's being censored. You know, like, and same thing with Kanye West. I could care less about Kanye West. Like, I've paid zero attention to him, you know, for a while now. You know, the only thing I paid attention to is how ugly his shoes are and how dumb the fashion industry is that you can convince people to buy such ugly shoes at such an expensive price. But besides that, like, I paid zero attention to him until he was being censored from everywhere. And then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, why is he being censored? I want to hear what he has to say. Same thing with Andrew Tate. I remember having people like a couple years ago telling me, like, hey, you should get Andrew Tate on your podcast. I'm like, who is he? And then you're like, oh, he's this guy. He has these perspectives and opinions. I'm like, oh, it sounds a little interesting, but I don't know. And I really paid zero attention to him until he started getting censored. Once he started getting censored and banned everywhere, then I'm like, okay, now I want to know why he's being censored. Like, what's so dangerous about his ideas or perspectives or opinions? And so to me, it, in many cases, it almost becomes a forbidden fruit. And for me, it becomes even more intriguing. Like, what are they saying? What are they, you know, that's getting them censored? And it's many of these people, when they're just out there in the open, I could care less about until they're censored, then I'm more intrigued with them. So, but at the end of the day, if Kanye West is making a fool out of himself and saying ridiculous things, then let him do it on platforms and let him do, and he'll just make a fool out of himself. And if what he's saying doesn't make sense, most people will understand that, instead of saying that, like, we have to ban him off every platform. And then it's like, okay, well, if what he's saying is so ridiculous, then I'm sure most people who hear it are also going to assume it's ridiculous. It's like, I don't need you to decide for me that this is too dangerous to hear out. These opinions are too dangerous to even explore or, you know, pay any attention to. So, you know, that's the thing that I think people don't worry enough about, is all, like, how you're seeing the trend. You know, it's always been there, you know, the censoring of different, you know, unpopular opinions and whatnot, but you're starting to see it ramped up, and especially with these huge, you know, personalities and people who have a lot of resources and should be able to kind of push back. And so when they're censoring the president, you know, the last president of the United States, and they're censoring somebody like Kanye West and Andrew Tate and all these people who have money and resources, and they can just shut them down, then, like, what luck would we have if we got on their hit list? You know, like, we would just, you know, we couldn't do anything. And you saw with a lot of people in alternative media, PayPal, right? Like, PayPal, yeah, wasn't letting people use their services, Patreon, all the stuff. You know, I had, during the COVID lockdowns, I had a lot of people contact me. They're like, hey, sorry, Rick, I'm not going to use Patreon anymore. It's not that I don't want to support your show, but, you know, I just don't like the fact that they're censoring people, and or they're kicking people people off, because I know they kicked off like Whitney Webb and Ryan from The Last American Vagabond and so on and so forth. So it's like
off of there now too.
What's that?
I think Corbett is off of there too now.
Yeah. So like, you know, and is it something that you're also, I mean, how do you feel about all of this? Do you think it's something that deserves more focus?
Well, here's the thing. This is where I get myself in trouble, right? Because I always try to look at the thing, you know, all the way around. I try to go all the way, not just from my own, you know, point of view and where it is that it could affect me, but I seriously consider the whole thing. And this is going to be a little uncomfortable, but let's do this. You're the kind of guy I can do this with. You and I have control over what is effectively a platform, each of us do, right? And what is to stop? Now, you might do this, but I wouldn't. Somebody might email you and say, you know what? You're an idiot. And you know why you're an idiot? And I've gotten this email, by the way, just so you know. You're an idiot, and I want to tell you why you're an idiot. You're encouraging people not to be vaccinated. Okay. You are literally getting people killed. If you believe in free speech, you should allow me to come on my show, come on your show and explain how stupid you are. Now, I don't want to engage with this person. I don't want them on the little bit of space that I do control. I have the right not to bring that person on if I don't want to deal with them, because they're just going to sit there and be insulting. And by the way, this wasn't about the COVID vaccine either. This was about just vaccines in general. Okay, you're an idiot. You're going to get people killed. This was over, you know, MMR, okay, and my arguments against it. All right, I've got three children. Two of them were vaccinated. One of them was not. I see the difference. And I also believe that my oldest son is damaged. So there you have it. That is my belief. That is what I do with my family. I have shared that. Okay, this person took it upon themselves to say that I was recklessly doing that. And they wanted to address me. I don't have to have them on this show. I don't have to have that conversation if I don't want to, because I have the right to control my space. Now, whether it's a company or it's an individual, if they have control over a platform, don't they have the right to say, we don't want this kind of crap on here? Now, I understand the concept of free speech, and you should protect the detestable and all that in public spaces that are truly public. But if you control a business or you control an area and it is yours to own, so to speak, and I use air quotes there because ownership of anything, I find it funny anymore, you know, because you're like a resident. I forget what the phrase is, but you're a resident. Even if you think you own your house, you really should take a good look at the paperwork. Anyway, it's interesting to me that we don't also look at it that way. This is why I've never really complained about when I've gotten thrown off of certain places too much, because I say to myself, you know what, they have the right to say that they believe that what I am saying is harmful. And they should lay it out better, and this is what Google didn't do when it came to throwing me off of YouTube. They wouldn't explain to me how I violated their community standards in most cases. They couldn't, because I didn't. But it was decided by somebody that I did. And I've told you about the ludicrous nature of a couple of the complaints, okay? I know, Ricky, I think I even told you directly. I'm saying to the audience, I told you guys about this. But it doesn't matter. I kind of don't get as upset about it, because I don't see it as a true free speech issue most of the time. Because I don't think that is something that you're absolutely entitled to go on to somebody's platform that they control, and if they have standards that they want to deal with it by. And that's the same with pornography, by the way, which I have no problem with. I found it funny that it took so long for them to throw off, you know, certain things, and there are still plenty of profiles out there, say, on Twitter right now, that are really just a conduit to their OnlyFans, you know, whether they want to sell you cam shows or just pictures of their feet or whatever. I have no problem with that. Now, if there is somebody that doesn't want to have pornography on Twitter at all, and they happen to be in control of Twitter, and they ban every little bit of that, I sit there and I say, well, that is a free speech issue, but can I really contest that? If somebody controls an area. Just because you have the right to say something, Ricky, doesn't mean you can come in my house and say it because I control my space.
But isn't that the – and you're making a very valid point, and I agree with you. Like, that is a part of discussion. Like, the way I was framing it and discussing it was based on the perspective that Twitter and all these social media platforms have become monopolies, and they kind of are they should be held to a certain standard in regards to free speech. But I also see the other argument where people do say, like, hey, you know, it's a private company. They have a right to censor whoever they want. And if you don't like their services, just like if I don't like the service that I get at Dunkin' Donuts, I can go to Starbucks. Or if I don't like the service at Starbucks, I'll go to some other coffee shop. And that's all. I see that perspective. But I think once you get to a certain size, you know, it's like when it goes beyond just having alternatives, because they've become a monopoly. You know, Twitter's become a monopoly, Instagram become a monopoly. And the other thing too is they all collude together. So like Trump, like Alex Jones, like Andrew Tate, like Kanye West, people are getting censored off all the platforms all at once. So it's not like I can say, hey, Twitter's censoring me. You know, they have the right to censor me. It's their platform. They're a private company. That's all right. I'll go use Parler. Oh, by the way, they colluded to get Parler kicked off the app store, and now I don't even have Parler, because now they're attacking Parler and making sure there isn't an alternative. Same thing with like a lot of these other alternative video platforms. You know, many of them have been, you know, if you talk to the developers, the software engineers, they'll talk about attacks, how they'll get attacked, they'll have these random issues where like the whole platform will be down or whatever. So it's like it's a monopoly, and you don't have, you know, it's not like a actual true free market where you can say, okay, well, you know what, Twitter? Like, you can censor whoever you want. And because I don't like it and people like me don't like it, we'll move on to another platform. There isn't another platform. And the other thing, too, is like the extent of the manipulation. Like, when you have such a huge percentage of the people that are online using your platforms, and then you're constantly manipulating them, and you're hiring the best psychologists and scientists and social engineers to understand how to control people. I mean, that has to be concerning, and it gets to a level of concern that it's like, okay, well, this is more like this. We can't just look at it as like this is just a private company and they're just doing something that I don't agree with. Like, now it's like now they are legitimately contributing to social engineering, and they're not doing it alone. They're colluding all together, all the huge platforms, and I have nowhere else to go, and it's happening everywhere, or just about everywhere. And all these alternative platforms, even though BitChute, Rockfin, Odyssey, like they're doing well. Rumble, you know, is growing. But the percentage of users compared to these other platforms, it's so small. So it's just like, that's kind of, I guess, like my perspective on it. It's like, I agree with you. Like, I think if there were alternatives, and if they weren't colluding to make sure those alternatives don't grow, or make sure that, you know, because it's same thing with Float. I've had the creators of Float.app, which is kind of like a Twitter/Facebook type of alternative media platform, or alternative social media platform. And, you know, they got kicked off the app store, you know, and like you hear these stories over and over again. So it's like, it's not a completely open free market where it's just like, okay, I don't like your platform, I don't like your censoring, so I'll go to this more free speech platform, because what they're doing is making sure that that free speech platform isn't found, because it's not an app store, it's not being suggested, all the algorithms working against it. And basically, if you're on Google's shit list, you're basically impossible to get recognized anywhere, because Google is Keurigs everything. Like, basically all the other social media platforms and all the other search engines use Google as their primary information, their data. So even like DuckDuckGo and all this stuff, and Dr. Robert Epstein explained this on Rogan's podcast and also on mine, where they basically control the web, because everybody's getting the search information from Google, more or less. So, you know, they're kind of like the middleman for everything. And because they're the middleman of everything, what they say goes, and that's it. When I got kicked off YouTube, it was impossible to find my podcast. I could suggest a episode I did with a certain guest. For example, if I'm talking to somebody at the gym about like, okay, yeah, I've been doing the keto diet for a while. Hey, I've done some great podcasts with Dr. Dominic DiAgostino or Dr. Thomas Seyfried or whoever, I'll send you the episode. And then I go on Google or on my phone and on Chrome, and I Google the Ripple Effect podcast, Dr. Dominic DiAgostino. And it should come up immediately. Why? Because I've spelled things horribly wrong, and Google is so clever that it knows what I'm attempting to spell, right, and it'll give me what I'm looking for. But when I'm spelling something correctly that they don't want me to find, it doesn't matter that I wrote the exact title of the podcast and all the correct information. It didn't come up. And this was after I got kicked off YouTube, and I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, it's going to be really hard for people to find my show now because I didn't just get kicked off YouTube. I'm on some type of list now where, you know, now Google won't even support my work, and anything related to my show is suppressed. It'll be on a second page or third page, and let's be honest, most of us don't even go past the first page. So it's, you know, it just makes it more difficult. So that's my concern. It's like if – you know, if everything was kind of fair and balanced, and we could say like, hey, this is just a platform, this is how this platform works, and if you don't like the way it works, I can move on to another platform, then I think that, you know, without a doubt, that'd be a very valid argument. Like, hey, they're a private company, they have the right to do what they want. But because they have, it's a monopoly and they have such control over everything, I don't know. I mean, it makes it harder for me to kind of accept that perspective.
Okay. Well, look, I'm presenting it this way because, frankly, when I saw Alex Jones banned, I understood why he was banned. You sign an agreement. I mean, we all believe in contracts, basically, one way or another, okay? Whether I just found no one that doesn't believe in the concept of a contract. If you sign an agreement that you're going to abide by certain standards, okay? You tell the people when you go into the restaurant, yeah, I'm going to keep basically the standard here. You got to keep your shoes and your shirt on, okay? You decide to take them off, you could be asked to leave. It's that simple, right?
But isn't the issue the fact that other people weren't held to the same standards, right? So people who, like we talked about, porn, child porn, all this other stuff, I mean, that obviously also breaks the rules. And, you know, so to me, like that, again, like it's a very valid point and argument, but it should be fair, complete. Like if I was Alex Jones, I would say, like, I would be like, yeah, Alex, like we're holding everybody to these standards. So without a doubt, like you can't complain. It is what it is. If you don't like it, move on. But the thing is, if you're Alex Jones, you're like, hey, wait, I'm getting kicked off for this. But you have people who are arguably doing worse things. But those worse things aren't, you know, thought crimes, you know, that you don't like. And it's not it doesn't go against your ideology. So that's OK. You know, and that's the thing. Like the consistency, I think, was the issue. It's like you're obviously picking and choosing.
I get it. I get that part of it. But then again, let's remove ourselves from the interwebs for a second, right? Pepsi and Coke collude together. You know this, right? The wireless phone companies collude together. Okay. The people that are responsible for basically making all the French fries in America collude together. All right. Eventually, when you get to a certain size in any business, okay, and it happens much more rapidly, I believe, in the internet world, so to speak. It appears to me as though that's what happens. Massive corporations create a monopoly, and if they don't have a monopoly, they have a cooperative. And they absolutely crush just about anything that looks like it could be competition, anything that looks like it could challenge the paradigm that they've established and supported. Which, by the way, I got dog noise in the back. Sorry about that. But it's the nature of things, one would say. I'm presenting these arguments, Ricky, not because they're exactly my position, but because these are the things I challenge myself with when I think about it. And I totally understand what you're saying about being removed from Google, because that happened to me before I lost my YouTube channel, where I said, now, how in the hell? Look, Verandez, you know, it's not a super common name. Ricky is, sure. But guaranteed you found yourself falling down among the Verandezes. Well, I'm an Ocelli. There's not that many of us on the planet. I fell real sharp. And really, there's only who in the public has my name? Nobody except me. Okay? I mean, there was like a soccer player for a minute somewhere. But outside of that, nobody. And I fell down. If you were to look for just me, you'd think it's a pretty specific name. Forget it. I fell down, and I still had the YouTube channel. They crushed my footprint on Google long before they got rid of my YouTube channel. And I watched it happen, and I had to learn about it in real time as it was occurring. Do I think that sucks? Yes. Do I look at it and go, Google is certainly – now, Google to me is a different thing because it is, as you said, the intermediary between a lot of others. But one could argue, look, man, you believe in a free market? Start your own Twitter. You believe in a free market? Then take this other alternative platform and build it up too. Isn't that the way of things? You can make a better cup of coffee than start a coffee shop. Go ahead, compete with Starbucks. Now, you and I both know, in the real world, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way on the internet. The greater corporate controllers will be there until they die or are destroyed. Okay? And here it is. It almost makes a guy like me who hates the idea of government intervention argue for anti-monopoly type of laws, of policies, of actions. You know, again, some people not old enough to remember this, but there used to be one phone company, basically, okay, in the whole country, and everybody had a phone. I know, Grandpa, you could go to the movies for a nickel, too, but I'm serious. There used to be one phone company. The government forced it to split up, and quite frankly, for a little while, it looked like you had freedom of choice among people that could provide you your phones, but that was all a sham. At the end of the day, the monopoly still prevailed because it became a confluence, a collusion of these other sub-companies. And even the ones that used to be competitors either got bought or transitioned into or whatever. And now you have, again, this handful of communication companies, which are now media companies as well as phone providers, as well as they do 100 things. And nowadays, even BlackRock has TV commercials, by the way. I saw those recently. I didn't know what to make of it. BlackRock, we believe in the future. I went, holy crap. Who even knew about that until a couple of years ago? And now they're trying to sell themselves as some, you know, great arbiter of the future. And we're going to take care of the school teachers' pensions, by the way, BlackRock. Good old wholesome Americana. And if you don't know what BlackRock is, I mean, I urge you to look into it because that stuff's still available on Google even. But Ricky, seriously, this is not a cut and dry issue in my mind. Because, again, Twitter can be challenged. We have seen dominant platforms get challenged and taken. I also see the argument about the greater corporate collusion and about how, you know, listen, if you don't think Exxon and BP work together, you're an idiot. You know what I'm saying? If you don't believe all of the phone companies that appear to be competing with each other are not also basically at the same trough and agreeing with each other about how they're going to do stuff, you're a fool. But what do you actually do about that? Is it a free speech issue? I think people mix it up with the idea, though, that they have a right to free speech. And I see the argument that you're making, too, but I also see that it's just not quite as plain and cold as a lot of people want to make it out to be. And again, I'm not supporting the idea of censorship. I'm just saying that I feel as though in my house, on my platform, at my business, I should be able to say, you know what, I don't want this kind of thing here. I don't want this kind of person here, you know, which puts me in a weird position for a lot of things that are going on out there. But it's sort of like, I figure if you establish a position, you also have the right to decide what you don't want to be exposed to, which is why I don't understand why they don't promote more the idea that you can simply block this stuff out. You can avoid it. You know what I mean? With some of the more unpopular speech or whatever. And it's strange because it's not even consistent with something that we know is absolutely the creation of DARPA and another privileged person over there. And that's the metaverse, which you and I didn't even discuss. Anyways, Ricky, I want to just kind of turn it to you for the last couple of minutes here. I didn't expect to go through this long. But you know what? I figure I got a guy who can actually articulate these things and think for himself on his feet. Why not have this conversation that I can't seem to have with a lot of other people about it? Not to say that this is even my position. I'm just giving you opposition to give it to you and to get you to consider it, because I think some people see it all one way or another, and some people think that it's absolutely the authoritarian's right to control all things. Some people, I really think that's, you know, what they actually believe, whether they articulate it that way or not. And others, I think they're mistaking the idea that they have a right to free speech on anything, because that's a fallacy at this point. But go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm glad you are pushing back, because I think sometimes, a lot of times in the alternative media community, we all jump on a bandwagon that, like, this is our perspective as a community and nobody challenges it. And I think all ideas should be challenged. So I like when my opinions, perspectives are challenged, because if I can't defend them, maybe I should really reanalyze them and reflect on them and really think them out a little better. So without a doubt, that's super important to whatever your opinion is or perspective is on anything. It's a good exercise to just, you know, discuss it with somebody who disagrees with you, and just see if being challenged helps you kind of rethink things a little bit. And that is important. And you're right in regards to corporations colluding. I remember years ago, there's a great documentary called Planned Obsolescence, the light bulb conspiracy, all about the light bulb companies coming together and deciding that, you know, they're not going to make them last very long for the purpose of all of them profiting. Same thing with the trolley car conspiracy, when DuPont and Firestone and all these, and GM, all colluded together to buy all the trolley. They had a front company, bought all the trolley cars and crushed them all, and then replaced them with diesel-powered PVTA buses. So without a doubt, since the beginning of history, there's been collusion throughout corporations. But it's definitely not new. It's not a new thing.
No, absolutely. And look, I just say that it's something that people should think about before just, even if you think you're going on to the most righteous bandwagon, always consider what it is you're jumping onto. And if you really are sure you want to be there before you jump, that's all. And I'm not saying that to you, Ricky. I'm just saying in general, it's one of those things. I constantly want my point of view tested, because that's the only way you're going to know if it stands on its own. So, you know, again, and I don't even necessarily agree with all the opposition that I presented to you. It's just a matter of, these are some of the things that I try to consider for myself when I look at this. Now, does that mean that I have the answer to this either? No. But we'll continue to search for it, just like Ricky does, on the Ripple Effect. Of course, Union of the Unwanted. What else would you like to tell people about and where they can go? They can go to RickyVerandez.com. I know I'm going to put all this stuff in the show notes, so if you're catching the podcast later, go ahead and click on all that, because that's where most of you listen anyway. And if not, go ahead and search on my site, because Ricky does come up as a, what do we call it, a category, excuse me, on my website. So there you go. If you just put his name in at the website, you'll come up with a bunch of interactions that we've had. So anything you want to say on your way out the door, Ricky?
I just want to say thanks again for having me. Have a great end of the year. Have a great holiday. Hopefully everybody's enjoying some family time and some company, some good company, and enjoying themselves. It's been a rough couple of years, but I'm always trying to look at things optimistically. So I think the work that you're doing, and all of us in the alternative media community, hopefully we are waking people up quicker than they're being brainwashed. So that's the hope. But yeah, check out the Ripple Effect podcast at RickyVerandez.com or the RippleEffectPodcast.com. It's available on just about every video platform: Band.video, Rumble, Rockfin, BitChute, besides YouTube, because like I mentioned, I got kicked off YouTube, but I do have a Clips channel there. But check out also the audio version on all the audio platforms, Spotify, iTunes, and whatnot. So, and then also check out the UM Unwanted, which is on Odyssey and Rockfin. The video versions and the audio is available also everywhere and anywhere. So thank you again, Chuck. I really appreciate you inviting me on. Thank you so much for not just going with the trend and always pushing back and being willing to be outspoken and share maybe a opinion that is might not be as popular as others, and we need that, you know, because we can't all be sheeple and just go with the herd. We have to question things and be challenged, like you said, without a doubt. Like, you know, when you're challenged, if you you know, it forces you to really think about what you're defending and really put that in perspective. So we need more people like you out there. So keep doing what you're doing. I love your show, and keep up the great work, and have a great end of the year.
Absolutely, brother. And, you know, I probably won't talk to you again until after the end of the year. So I hope that you and yours are also well. Ricky Verandez, the Ripple Effect podcast. Again, you can find him just about anywhere where audio podcasts are available. But I think I'll give you guys a link to the Rockfin, a couple other things. I don't know if he's still available on the Linktree, but we'll see, you know. And who knows, if you find that he's been kicked off a platform by the time you go to click on it, maybe you can protest on his behalf. Nobody does it for me. Maybe they'll do it for you. Anyway, in the next hour, we'll be talking to Blind Joe. I think he just got kicked off of TikTok or something. So, yeah, why not? We'll continue with this discussion. The Ocelli Effect returns. Stick around.
Find everything you're looking for?
Yeah, thank you.
Nothing I can help you with, huh?
No, I'm just looking at the games because I'm next. Get your hands out of my pants, man.
Steal from the store, you steal it from me.
What?
What is this?
I was going to pay for it.
Wrong answer. You know, when I look at you, you know what I think? I think America has a sad future ahead of it. And you're part of this sorry-ass generation. What you want to be when you grow up?
I don't know.
This MP3?
Yeah.
Take it off.
My grandmother gave
take it off. I don't care who gave it to you. Take it off. I don't care if I'm choking you down. Now I want you to get on out of here. Get! Happy Kwanzaa. And pull your damn pants up. What's wrong with you kids these days?
Ocelli.com.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold. Silver. The stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Uncle, do you remember that time when Nibiru, also known as Planet X, was going to get within the gravitational pull of the Earth and cause mass commotion and chaos?
More that. More commotion. More confusion. It goes into the confusion thing. Hey, going nut, he's going back, and it's going crazy.
I hate being confused like that.
But that's exactly how he works it.
It is, but at the Ocelli.com radio network, you're never confused.
No, it's straight to the point.
Straight talk.
And I like that idea.
It's about time. Forget this Nibiru stuff and listen to the Ocelli.com radio network.
.com, and he'd get it right where you want to hear it at. Right straight ahead instead of ding-donging back and forth here.
Ocelli.com.
Support Chuck Ocelli at Ocelli.com.
There's no money in it, so
yeah, that is
that's the problem.
That's the biggest problem, I think. And, you know, some people would say that, look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but quite frankly, I'm on that business model, too. And, look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain. Okay, because people want to support you. They love you to death, but honestly.
So if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show. And I want you to do this, too, because, the Ocelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
But I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles sort of really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. That's the oil's rule.
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
Take me to task, cause I don't wanna wear a mask or take a vaccine that could maybe make me die. They got no scientific evidence to back that crap up. All they do is feed us lies and lie. That's why I will not comply. Since back last March, I've had an achy, breaky heart like old Billy Ray Cyrus. Catching a case of the blues from the news around this damn coronavirus. Now they're telling us we gotta keep our chin divers up, even if we got the shot in the arm. Nobody's talking about exercise or eating food that's fresh grown from the farm. That's why I will not comply. Quit trying to take me to task, cause I don't wanna wear a mask or take a vaccine that could maybe make me die. They got no scientific evidence to back that crap up. All they do is feed us lie after lie. That's why I will not comply. So my non-compliance sounds like
mine. We should learn from our relatively recent history, my brother. That's where I'm coming from. I say our wow to the people.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelley.
Second segment of the Wild Card Wednesday show. And, you know, it seems as though I have Blind Joe on quite often. and sometimes I don't have a particular reason. And I just like talking to Blind Joe. But tonight I actually do have a reason. This is interesting, and it's so funny because unintentionally perfectly dovetails with the first hour where we were talking about Twitter and general censorship on platforms, and Ricky Verandez didn't know what I was going to discuss with Blind Joe at all, but it works perfectly. So good thing. Why is that? All right. Well, Blind Joe, and I know TikTok's been in the news lately and blah, blah, blah. And I try not to even discuss it because I'm on TikTok, but I don't really use it. I'm not the video guy. Everybody knows this. But even so, it's yet again one of these things that whatever, whatever. And I know they're debating it in public right now. Is it a Chinese tool for spying? And well, all of this stuff is a tool for spying for somebody. So, you know, just get over that, please. But secondly, you know, the government wants to maybe remove it and so on and so forth. And is it, you know, I don't even know where to jump into that pool at this point with TikTok. But Blind Joe apparently has been a bad guy on TikTok. And
I'm a bad boy, Chuck. I'm a bad boy.
So tell me what you did wrong, okay? And we're going to play a song, by the way, because I want to get an explanation first, though. What you allegedly did wrong on TikTok, okay? And then I want to play the song that apparently triggered a whole thing. And, I mean, you haven't had your account deleted yet, but...
Not yet. The commies are getting pretty out of control, though, man. I got to tell you. They sent me a message saying that I could appeal it, of course. That's YouTube sent me that message with I Will Not Comply, if you remember that song. And, of course, appeals don't work with these people. But isn't it nice of them to just put that in there? But anyways, what they told me was that I was spreading hate speech And if I didn't stop spreading hate speech, they would delete my account due to, quote, inciting violent extremism, end quote.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hey. Now, hang on just a quick second, because, you know, inciting violent extremism, I mean, just I'm just thinking about this plainly, could be different from hate speech. And there is hateful speech out there.
Oh, I completely agree. But there's nothing that I've ever put on TikTok that's even remotely hateful. Even this new song I have called The Truth is there's nothing hateful about it. It's cut and dried. It's the truth. And I mean, of course, you get your, you know, three people out of 5,000 comments that get pissed about stuff and start whining. But the majority of the response that I've had from this song has been absolutely 99% positive. And, you know, when you hear the lyrics, I can, of course, I know it's going to be a little controversial. And I wrote it because of that. But in the same sense, Chuck, it's just sad. It really breaks my heart that
occasionally
this even has to be written.
See, and I will not comply, which I played not only on the shows, but I've also put on my weird, you know, DJ mixes, which look, you get mixed in there with everything, by the way, just so you know, Joe. I play all kinds of music on there. There could be Merle Haggard, there could be ZZ Top, but then again, there could be Wu-Tang Clan. You never know what it is I'm going to do, right?
I love it, dude. I love it.
And you'll show up in there, and that's the way it is. And then maybe somebody's cover tune or this or that. You know, this is what I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Totally, like it could not be on any existing radio station when I do a DJ set. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Anyway, I look. I'm gonna just play your song now. I'm gonna disclosure here. I have not heard the song yet, so I want to sit here and listen to it with Joe. And I want to hear what hate speech and inciting – what was that phrase again?
Inciting violent extremism.
Inciting violent extremism. Now, open-mindedly, I want to see if I can accuse if I can accuse Blind Joe
of inciting
violent extremism and hate speech. I mean, look, before I play it, I'll tell you this. I do know that there have been some country artists – that have put out things that I would call hate speech. I really would. I mean, they're not mainstream, but you've heard this stuff, right? You know,
Rebel, David Allen Coe, that kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah.
You got it.
Especially back in the day.
Yes, indeed. There are country artists who have done that. I know they have. And if you don't want that played on public airwaves, I would say, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? If you don't want that on TikTok, I don't know that I would, you know, immediately line up the same way, because I feel as though the public airwaves could be a bit more intrusive on somebody than say.
I don't know how much time you spend on TikTok, Chuck. I don't spend a lot of time on there either. I can't imagine you do. But with the time I have spent on TikTok, and it's a very minimal amount of time, it's some of the most vile, filthy, disgusting things you've ever heard. I can't even imagine what you see on TikTok. And let's keep in mind also that the majority of people that are on TikTok for long amounts of time are children.
See, now that's where I was going to go next. And now I'm holding off on playing the song. And we're going to hold off for a second because now I need to address what you just said. I've got an 8-year-old boy. And he does play around with the devices, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's fully sighted. He enjoys the TikTok and this and that. He does. But quite frankly, I have to monitor that some.
Absolutely.
Because there is, and look, I'm not trying to squash the kids, you know, exposure to the world. I am one of these people that believes, actually, that you don't protect your children all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to let them fall. You got to let them take some skin off.
Fall, right, right. Absolutely.
You got to let them take a hit. You got to let them be exposed to some terrible things. I'm not saying you got to allow major injuries to your children in order for them to learn lessons. But what I am saying is, that you can't put them in a bubble, okay?
You can't coddle your kids. I mean, and that's one of the things that as a totally blind guy, you know, child, rather, growing up, you know, my parents were always good parents and always protected us and got us, you know, with everything we need and taught us right from wrong. But they also were letting me ride motorcycles and ride bikes and hang out with my friends and play with knives and all that kind of stuff. Not play with knives, you know, but I mean, my dad, when I was probably 7 or 8, bought me a few Swiss Army knives and taught me how to shoot.
Sam, what you said, this is how you handle it, right?
Yeah. I mean,
you know, yeah.
It just
responsible yeah, parenting.
Absolutely. This is how you do it. And if you can't handle it responsibly, then it gets taken away.
And that does mean, in my mind, that up until a certain age, though, see, now you said, what, 7 or 8, maybe your dad said, here's a knife, this is what you do with it.
Yep, yep.
Now, he might have decided that that was appropriate for you, and that's fully within his right. Now, if that was better to show you that at 4, because you were that kind of kid, cool.
Everybody's different, yeah, yeah.
If that was better, yep, that's where I was going. But I was going to say, I want to say that you're absolutely right, that there are crazy things on there. There are kids that are making TikTok videos, honestly. Again, you're not, you know, equipped to see this, Joe, right. But horrific. To me, I'm looking at kiddie porn because there are, you know, 10-year-old girls on there because they see that grown women go on there and act sexy.
Yep,
there are 10-year-old girls on there doing that, and I dare say that the majority of their followers are not 10-year-old boys, okay?
Yeah, you can pretty much guarantee it, dude. It's a sick world we live in, and the sick part of it is that TikTok promotes that kind of thing. That's the kind of thing that triggers the algorithm and gets it shipped out to other people and all this kind of thing. So, I mean, I will say that I do think TikTok is very, I don't know, evil, I guess, in a – It's the grossest social media network we have out there as far as I'm concerned.
And
as far as music is concerned, it's a necessary evil, you know?
Unfortunately, that's the thing. And I was going to say, even on YouTube, right? YouTube presents and they give you this thing where there's a kid-friendly YouTube that exists, right, that's supposed to catch all this stuff. And I'm here to tell you that it doesn't.
Does not at all, yeah.
Okay, but it does a fair job clicking away a lot of stuff. Okay, honestly.
But what they do with the kids YouTube is put these messages in a way that's digestible to children. All this, hey, you know, if you're a boy and you want to be a girl, hey, that's no problem. No problem. Because, you know, Bobby Bear right here, little teddy bear wanted to be, he wasn't comfortable as a boy, and now he's a girl, and look how comfortable he is, and that kind of thing. And that's just not something I agree with. Now, if you're a grown adult, and that's what you've made that decision in your life, that, hey, you know what, I'm a guy, but I feel like a girl, and I'm going to be a girl. You're a grown adult, man. Make your own decisions. That's fine. But when they push it on children, that's what I have a problem with, man. I really, it pisses me off to no end, and I'm not going to stand for it. And this song is kind of my way of fighting back against what I consider to be child abuse, because it's disgusting. These people should be ashamed of themselves. They should be in prison.
No, look, all fair and proper points. And again, even if you turned to me and you said, you know what, I'm going to be blind Josephine from now on, I'd say, you know what, more power to you, bro. I'm not going to say that I agree with you and I enjoy you.
Exactly.
You know what? Yeah, you're a grown man. You want to do that?
Your thing, dude. Do it. You know, I agree wholeheartedly, man.
So let's see what violent extremism and hate speech sounds like on TikTok. Not a clean platform is all I'm trying to get at here.
Right. Right.
If this was, you know, the clean, wholesome platform, I'd say, okay, maybe they don't want anything that appears to be abrasive. And maybe somehow Blind Joe is a little abrasive. I mean, you could say, I will not comply, part of that, is a little abrasive. I think it's very friendly sounding, actually. But,
I think so.
You know, but somebody else might say, well, I will not comply is very abrasive. It's very, you know, it promotes a rebellion and whatever. I can't even make up something against that song.
I don't know. I'm with you 100%.
Let's play this, and you and I are going to listen to it together. And I want everybody to listen carefully to the lyrics. And honestly, I want to hear from you guys out there. If there's a way that we can turn this and say, Joe is encouraging, what was that, violent extremism?
It was, what did they say? I had it 2 seconds ago. I said it. Now I can't remember. Yeah, violent extremism was.
Violent extremism. And hate speech.
Inciting violent extremism and hate speech, which just blows my mind. Telling the truth nowadays, ladies and gentlemen, is hate speech. So
There you go. So the name of the song is The Truth, correct?
Indeed.
Okay, so we're going to play it here on the Ocelli Effect. Now the cheering at the end, that's kind of cool. I like how you add the live audience element into some of your songs.
Thanks a lot, man. I completely ripped that off from Garth Brooks back in the 90s, did Friends in Low Places, and I always loved that ending where it just got out, you know, everybody cheering and singing along and gives it that really that honky tonk kind of feel.
Yeah, you know what song I love that in the most is, I think it's Hank the Third does something where he's like, yeah, that's right, I drink too much and I smoke too much weed or what. I forget the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
what the dang song is now, but yes, I know what you're talking about.
And I love it because he's interacting with the audience, and I don't know if it's a true live recording or not because it's so well blended.
Right, right.
But it's like it's all right. Anyway, let's address the issues here.
Yeah. Speech. I suppose I did say dumbest human being in the world. I played that for my dad, and he's like, maybe you should take out the dumbest human being in the world. And I'm like, Dad, listen. Listen to what the song is saying. If you're born with a penis, you're a boy, and if you can have a baby, you're a girl. And if you don't like this song because you think what I'm saying is wrong, you're the dumbest human being in the world. You have to be, because that's the truth. There's nothing.
Here's the thing, though. I'm going to be totally objective here, right? I mean, I love you, man. You know that.
Yeah, so, I know.
I have an urge to want to defend you, but I'm going to try and be objective.
Okay.
I got a problem here with them saying, because that's the only thing. I'm trying to find the hate speech, okay? I want you to know that. and that's the closest thing to hate speech. You're calling somebody dumb.
Yeah. Now, that's okay. What I'd say, too, is that would be about the closest thing to quote-unquote hate speech. And, I mean, if you can't stand someone calling you dumb, I mean, it reminds me of being 6 years old on the playground. You know what I mean? And somebody's like, you dummy, and you go cry about it. I mean, get over it, dude.
But you see, that's the thing. Look, let's be objective. All kinds of media out there, okay, and it doesn't matter if it's the corporate media, all of it. All of it. Have you ever experienced anything that had a run where somebody doesn't at some point basically say, you know, somebody's a dumbass for something they did, said, or think?
Exactly. I mean, so just keep in mind, folks, that your 10-year-old can flash her training bra on TikTok as long as she doesn't call somebody dumb when she doesn't.
That's really is so ridiculous because how all right, hold on. I'm struggling here. Because, all right, calling somebody dumb is just the most generic thing. Also, in order for it to be hate speech, okay, to my understanding, maybe I'm wrong about this, but, I mean, you would have to identify a generalized group.
Yes.
And that generalized group, I mean, look, you didn't go on there and say, you know, you need to be wiped off the planet. You didn't go on there because I'm looking for the violence, too.
Yeah.
I don't see any violence.
I don't either. I have no idea. You know, the thing is, man, is it's just it all goes back to this control and censorship and okay. the they want what they want. And, you know, if you have somebody coming out and openly rebelling against this communist socialist regime that they're going for, they lose their minds. They don't know how to handle it because they're not used to it.
See, you know, I know, and I know what the complaint is from that portion of the world here. I do know what it is. I'm not going to play ignorant. I know what it is. They're saying, I bet the argument is this, okay, Joe, that because you are declaring that this is the only way it is, and it would be stupid to think otherwise, that your attack is on the people that are choosing to go that other direction, like we talked about earlier. Listen,
this is what gets me, Chuck, is that they say it's an attack. Look, I'm being very what would the word brash, I suppose, but this is not an attack. If people really think this way, that breaks my heart. That makes me sad. I don't get angry. I just think, oh my gosh, what must life for you be like if you can't accept the fact that if you're born with a penis, you're a boy, and if you can have a baby, you're a girl.
Okay.
I mean, unbelievable.
And now I'm going to flip things around on you too, because this is my job in my mind.
absolutely.
Let's try and go after this. And just for the record, before I go any further, I don't see any violence. I don't see any extremism. I don't even see hate speech here. Okay, this is not any of what they're accusing you of. Okay. But let's do a little hate speech for a second, and I don't mean we're going to participate in it and let's say foul things necessarily.
Right.
I'm going to present to you a hypothetical though, and I'm going to make you the target, and I know you can handle this.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. So I know that you have found people at some point in your life. I guarantee it because you've been out in the world, brother.
I have indeed.
Okay. So I guarantee you found people at some point who basically would have said that somebody like you, you're blind, right? You're clearly a defective person.
Oh, yeah.
And therefore, you know, it would be better if kids like you were never born.
Oh,
it
man.
Would be better. And this is hate speech, by
Absolutely.
The way.
Absolutely. Dude, not only that, but I mean, I've had people, I've been walking in Nashville and had people deliberately yell things at me. I've had them try to yell like directions at me. Oh, turn that way, dude. Turn that way. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, dude. Yeah. People are, I mean, I've had real shit yelled at me. You know what I'm saying? Not dude, you're dumb.
No, I mean, and that's the thing. A physical issue, which is not something that you chose in any way, shape or form. And if somebody targets you like that, That to me is hate speech.
Yeah.
That to me, you know, especially when they attach a violent sentiment to it, which again, where's your violent sentiment? I'm looking for it. But you and I both, I guarantee at some point have been told that we don't even have a right to exist because we're defective.
And, you know, had we been born a few years earlier, you know, back in the day, way back, you know, 40s, 50s, 30s, 40s, that era, we probably wouldn't have been out in the world, out in the communities, because we would have just been institutionalized, because you're blind. How are you going to live your life? I mean, that's really the way it was.
Or it would have been acceptable for someone to basically cast us into a segregated area.
Absolutely.
To keep us away from other children, to put you in the blind school. And there are blind schools that exist today and all that. And I was offered a spot at one and et cetera, et cetera. I'm personalizing this for a reason, okay? Right. And Joe knows what I'm doing here. We know what some hate speech looks like. We know what somebody trying to do violence because they think you're vulnerable looks like, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm not using that just to be ironic or funny, and I'm asking the blind guy, he knows what something looks like. But I realize the irony there, okay? So don't message me about it, okay? But you and I understand this, and you're not sitting here saying, look, you know, these people need to be destroyed or segregated, or, you know, you're not attaching. Where is your violence? I don't get. Where is your violence?
What I'm trying to say with this song is, you know, enough is enough, man. Enough is enough. We are not all this stupid, you know, all this stuff that's been going on over these past 2 years, 3 years. I mean, it's been going on for much longer than that, but it's really come to light with COVID and everything else. You know, it's time for us to wake up and realize what they're trying to do to us. And they're coming after our kids. You know, you see all this pedophilia stuff coming out now and all this, just, it's garbage, man. Absolute garbage. And this is what they're worried about. A blind dude telling the truth in a song and saying the word dumb when we've got pedophilia running rampant, these big clothing companies and stuff putting S&M and bondage, kids wearing bondage clothes in their commercials and in their advertising, and teachers that I just saw here a couple days ago, this dean of students at a private school was bragging to what's the company that goes and gets these people to admit stuff. They're on Twitter all the time and all over the place. I can't remember what the name of it is right now, but they're like an undercover investigation company. And here's this dean of students talking about how he's happy because at his private school, it's so cool that he got to teach the kids about butt plugs and dildos. I mean, are you kidding me, man?
You're a grown person. This is what you want to do.
That's fine.
You know what? I don't care.
When you're putting it on children, dude, you are sick. You are a sick, deranged individual. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you should be just drug out into the street and shot in the face. But
see now there's some.
That's some hate speech.
Violence.
Hate speech, there you go. That's some violence for you right there.
But you did it on my show, which, you know what? Whatever. The thing is, they are accusing you of something. And again, I'm going to go back to as objective as I can possibly be. And this is not easy, guys, because I'm just looking at this going, this is silly what they're doing. Because, first of all, what you are defending is common sense.
Yeah.
But forget that. Let's just say I don't agree with you, Joe. Let's just say I'm in opposition to your opinion, Joe.
All right.
You know what? It's your opinion. I have mine. You have yours. You're not threatening me. Okay. If I'm in opposition to you, if I think, no, you don't understand. We have a right to choose that. And this is not a binary situation where there's one or the other, or, you know, maybe there's an other sometimes. That does happen naturally, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just saying, let's just say I hold that opinion. you're not threatening me here. You're just calling me dumb at worst possible thing.
Yeah.
And again, like you said, it's like children on a playground. It's you know, well, you're a stupid head. That's hate speech.
Exactly. Exactly it.
What the hell is, and again, if this was being done on, I don't know, something, I'm trying to imagine how this could even be turned. I'm trying to justify this. I can't.
I don't know. I really wish there was a way to justify it. But the bottom line is, man, I really don't think there is, because it's just, like you said, it's common sense. And there's just no getting around it. I mean, plus it's a really fun song. I mean, not to toot my own horn or anything.
No, it is a lot of fun. You know what? I have one critical complaint. Yeah. You're going to love this.
I will.
I hate the word penis. Yeah. I've always hated the word penis. I really think that word actually sounds more dirty.
It does. You're not wrong, dude. When I wrote it and I told my wife, I said, hey, I'm going to start a song with, hey, if you're born with a penis, you're a boy. She goes, I don't like that. I go, perfect. It's in. Awesome.
Now that's the next thing I was going to go to is, but if your point is, and I think it's a valid thing to do, and I think it's a right thing to do. If you have an opposing opinion to somebody else, I think it's a good thing to make them uncomfortable with their idea if you're capable of doing so. Because as I discussed in the last hour, it is good to have your ideas challenged, even if you think you're righteous about them. Then they should be able to withstand a challenge.
Absolutely. So,
I tell you honestly, I just don't like the word. The word penis sounds a lot worse than even, you know, dick.
Yeah. It does. You're not wrong.
Frankly, if you had put dick in there instead, right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, it would have been it would have been less uncomfortable.
Yeah. So, yeah. You're absolutely right. And as soon as Leanne said that, oh, I don't like that, I'm like, well, then, all righty, we have a winner.
See, and somebody might say, well, why didn't you use the word vagina then? You know.
Yeah.
All right. Look, I believe in equal time, by the way, but the word vagina is I don't know, it's less sloppy sounding than penis. So. Look, I'm trying to have fun with this too, Joe. Because listen, your music, the spirit of your music is fun. Yeah, okay, and, you
know, that's what I've always tried to do is write about what means the most to me and just have fun with it. And you know, I write it primarily. I mean, you know, I'd like to say that I put this stuff out for these kind of people or those kind of people. The reality of it is, dude, I write songs for me, for myself. Stuff that I want to hear, stuff that I'd like to sing, and I'm just very fortunate that people enjoy it.
You know,
except for TikTok.
A sick, twisted idea in my mind. I want to give you one. Okay, is because it's already out there, and you could probably have an 11-year-old girl. Don't dress her inappropriately or anything, but you could probably have an 11-year-old girl dance around to this song. And it would be super popular, which, by the way, you want to talk about dumbassery just for a second. Why every country station's morning show is not playing this song? I don't know. What is that? Billy Bob and whatever.
Bob and Tom. I think Bob and Tom should pick it up. Do you know Bob and Tom? They're a nationally syndicated show.
Well, there's Bob and Tom. And then there's that other one that's very popular in the South. What is it? Billy Bob and oh, damn. I can't remember it. But it's two guys that are clearly, like, they should be on the country station doing the morning show.
Oh, Bob, are you talking Bobby Bones or whatever?
No. It's two guys, and one of them, I could swear his name Billy Bob. It's been a little while since I've caught the morning show on the country stations, but it used to be on the country stations in North Carolina and New Jersey.
Okay.
And I just can't remember what it was. And it was like, it just came to Jersey before I left in 2014. Gotcha. And was popular for years and years. And anybody I mentioned it to since I moved down south knew it. Yeah. But either way, all I'm saying is the lighthearted shows. Good.
the thing with all this stuff that I write is it'll never get on the radio because the powers that be run the media. You know what I mean? And that's not just the news. You know, a lot of times we think the media and we think TV and radio news and that kind of stuff. But the reality of it is these people own the record labels. They own the radio stations. They own it's all they're all lumped into the same thing. And the last thing they want is their narrative to be blown apart by some asshole from Minnesota talking about if you have a penis, then you're a boy.
But you would think, because of the nature of the game, of the morning talk show, that somebody would want to, you know, do what Howard Stern used to do when he was on terrestrial radio, which is push the envelope.
Yeah, why you would think so.
Why somebody hasn't picked this up and put it on? You know what? I'm on 15 country stations, and there are various morning hosts that have, you know, gigs like that where they're syndicated. Why it is that somebody hasn't picked this song up already and started playing it just to piss off some listeners, even?
Well, I appreciate that, man, and hopefully they will. You know, the people that have been the kindest to me are people like you. You know, the podcasters and the alternative media people. I got a guy, his name is Richie Allen, and he does the number one news radio show, independent news radio show in Europe. And, I'll be on his show on Monday. He's over at richieallen.co.uk, and the guy is just fantastic.
Yeah. Tell Richie I said hi. I've been on his show several times.
Awesome. I'll definitely let him know, man, for sure. He's a great dude, and he was really good to me with Comply. And now I'm going to be, like I said, on there Monday, again, with this song. And, Those kind of people, man. David Icke's son, I can't remember his first name off the top of my head, but he's been good to me. And just really the people that are that want the truth out there. You know what I mean? Are the folks that that are good to me. The mainstream, they're scared. They're scared. You know, they all have their people that they answer to, and they it goes so far up the corporate ladder that it gets the kibosh gets put on it pretty quickly.
No, that's where it's at. But I'm still racking my brain here trying to find where the violence is. There, it is absolutely absent of violence. I'm still trying to find where the true hate speech is. And you know, we didn't even bring up race or anything else.
No,
you know, or people that could be said to be speaking hatefully when they encourage, say, violence against women simply because they're women.
I guess you could say, well, you talk about the government, you say that they claim to care about us, but that's a lie. Well, maybe they do care about us. Well, I mean, look at the government, and I'm not just talking about the United States. Look at everywhere in the world, man, and what they did to us all with COVID. And you if you can honestly tell me that the government cares about you after the 2-3 years that we have had these past couple of years,
here's the thing about that. The government doesn't care about you. Oh, my. You've just made a statement that is so outlandish and outrageous, Joe. I mean, no offense, but there's no controversy even in that.
Yeah.
Nothing.
We all know from a very young age that politicians are lying, cheating, filthy scum. Yeah, we continue to fight about him. That's a whole another topic for another day. But
because you know my scumbag is better than your scumbag.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Just you know, it's like no, my criminal is less criminal than yours.
Right.
I'm serious though. I don't understand this. This is nonsense. I mean, it's almost like when YouTube turned around and said that I was encouraging people to harm themselves.
Oh my God. What happened with that? I don't know if I heard about that.
What it is that I had put a couple of statements from John F. Kennedy, a couple of recordings together.
Oh, and don't do that, dude. Oh, my gosh. Did you really? Yeah. Oh, I believe you 100%, dude. did you hear they're trying now to there's a lot of the FBI files that they had.
I'm actually involved in that. The deadline for the Biden administration is tomorrow.
Yes. Oh, dude, that would be something, wouldn't it? They'll probably keep them locked away, but my gosh, I mean, it's about damn time, I think.
Well, realistically, and by the by, I'm going to be covering that on Friday with Larry Hancock, who is also somebody who works at the Mary Farrell Organization, since you brought it up.
Yes.
We're going to cover that extensively because there will be an examination of those files, which I will participate in, along with some others. And guess what? We're going to find out exactly what they decided to release and what they didn't. And we're going to go through that as fast as we can.
Awesome.
But the reality is that as I complained about in 2017, the Trump administration was in violation of the law. The Biden administration is in violation with the law. That's why they're being sued. Yep. So, you know, here we go.
There you go.
But anyway, we'll get to that on Friday, I assure you guys. And the call-in show is going to be on tomorrow night instead of Friday. Just a quick programming note. All right. We'll get there. But let's leave that alone for now, because I'm still stumped. I know I'm repeating myself, Joe, but where's your violence, brother? I mean,
idea, man.
You're gonna do violence. I mean, do violence.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, they accuse me of it enough and pull my stuff down enough that maybe I should just write a violent song. But the reality of it is, dude, I really don't have any violence in me. You know, like with my music and what I do in my life in general, I just try to be a funny guy that loves meeting new people and hanging out and having a good time and entertaining. You know,
that's the thing. You're up. You're the spirit of this. It's not dark. It's not foreboding. It's not what we need to do is destroy these people. You didn't do that. You didn't even say, you know, you just said, oh, you're just dumb if you think this.
Yeah.
if you don't understand that what I'm saying is, you know, if you think what I'm saying is wrong, you're dumb.
Yeah.
Oh my. You know, again, you're a stupid head.
You're a poop face. I mean, that's what it reminds me of. Just like
this boy said I should have feces on my face.
Yeah.
He is threatening to attack me. No. Yeah. really.
Really, but so, I mean, that's, you know, that's the society we've become, man, where we can't even, you know, people can't even have differing opinions or we can't even talk about anything anymore without somebody flipping out and yelling and going crazy. And it's just silly. It's all so silly, man. It blows my mind when I, you know, and that's, I don't watch a lot of TV or anything like that anymore, news or anything, because it's all just, it's nuts. I mean, when you can't even have an adult conversation as an adult, I'll never understand it.
No, and I know I goofed around with you here a bit, but I mean, it's worthy of goofing on. It really is, because this is ridiculous, okay? And I know TikTok is not the center of your universe necessarily, but as you said, unfortunately, if you're going to be an entertainer of any type, you have to use these platforms. And this is what they're doing to a guy like you. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Anyway.
And the thing of it is, too, man, is, you know, the acoustic version that I put the acoustic version up on Thanksgiving. I wrote it on Thanksgiving and put the acoustic version up on TikTok. And within, like, I think it was 2 days, it had 300,000 views. It's now at almost 860,000. And it just keeps going. And, I mean, think about what that says about the state of our world in general, man. I mean, that's what gets me, is that here's a song where you're really just saying what everybody knows, and it's getting almost a million views on TikTok. I mean, that's, I'm grateful because it's my song and people are hearing it, and that translates to them showing up at my shows. But in the same instance, like I said at the beginning of the show, it's sad. It breaks my heart because, like, are you serious? Like, people should hear this song and go, yeah, and?
See, now that was the last thing I was going to say here, is that, quite frankly, most of what you're saying here doesn't actually contain controversy.
Yeah.
I mean, when you did I Will Not Comply, there was a bit of controversy.
That contained controversy because I said, you know, a vaccine that could maybe make me die. Oh, my gosh. And look what's happening now, dude. 500% heart attack increase. Weird.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Joe, you don't know how to read the numbers. Just so you know. That's the latest argument. I know you heard that, too. But enough out of all that nonsense. When you talk to Richie Allen, by the way, say controversy, because I think that's how they say it.
He does. I love his accent so much, dude. I can listen to him talk all day. He's fantastic.
No, it's cool stuff, and he is clearly, you know, Irish, which I am part also. But anyway, it's great. The song is cool. I love it. It stays with the spirit of your music. Which overall, all of Blind Joe's music is very much you know, up. It is not like a downer, generally speaking. I mean, I know you've probably written a couple of things that might go a little deeper or whatever, but they might be a little personal. I don't know what you've released altogether, but almost everything I've heard.
Yeah, my stuff is even my personal stuff is pretty up tempo. I think I wrote a song a while back called "Don't Come to Nashville," which was kind of a sad song, just about how. You know, if you're a real country songwriter and a singer and you have something to say and you won't dumb down your lyrics and stuff like that, then don't come to Nashville because they won't want you here. And I was in a pretty rough place when I wrote that. I mean, I was in Nashville and that was what I was experiencing.
Right.
But the majority of my stuff is upbeat. I'm an upbeat guy, you know, and I like to have fun. And even like the gospel stuff I write, you know, I wrote a song called Saved. Got a song called Glory of the Lord. I was actually working on a gospel album until this song came about. Now, of course, things are kind of shifting. But, I mean, that's this business. You know, you just roll with the punches and then go wherever the music takes you, you know. So.
No, and we talked about that last time you were on, about the gospel stuff and yeah. How I thought that would be really cool and all. But
yeah, amazing. I'm still working on that. It'll happen for sure. And it's just, you know, you just got to roll with the hustle, man.
No, I got you. And look, I want people to go do that. So, I mean, I know I have it bookmarked, but I think it's just blindjoe.com, right? They can go to?
Blindjoe.com, and you can, the song, The Truth, is right up there on the top. It's $2 because of PayPal. I wanted to sell it for 99 cents, but PayPal are taking a bunch of fees and all this crap. So I've been having to sell the songs on the website for $2. But, you know, if you don't want to pay the $2, it is on iTunes for 99 cents or... If you're cheap and you don't care about supporting independent artists, you can head on over to your favorite streaming service or on YouTube. It's all over, man. You'll find it. Just type in Blind Joe the Truth and you'll get it.
No, and that's the way it is. And look, if you can't throw $2 at a Blind Joe song, I don't know what to tell you. But
okay. Like, I understand. You know what I mean? I mean, I some people are just broke, man, especially to, you know, this day and age where inflation is like skyrocketing and, you know, it's freaking $20 for a pound of beef or whatever the hell it is. I mean, I get it. You know, all I ask is that if you can't afford it, you just play the hell out of it on Spotify or YouTube and crank it as loud as you can go, piss off your neighbors with it and just share it on social media. And I mean, that's it, man. Let's just get this message out here because it's time to stop ignoring common sense, for criminy sake.
Exactly. And again, you know what? If you are as broke as I generally am, if you are, I would encourage you to do exactly what Blind Joe just said, which is share it. And you know what? Maybe somebody will catch a hold of it and not be broke and help them out, because we need to support independent people that are artists, that are content creators of all sorts, okay, yeah. That are doing something legitimate. And this is something that Joe does. So I appreciate you taking the time. Is there anything else you want to tell people about? I mean, other than the usual and what we've already covered, blindjoe.com.
Yeah, blindjoe.com is where you can go for everything. And I just do want to let everybody know, too, that I'm working on a physical CD. I know there's a lot of people out there that want an actual CD. And I'm honestly hoping to have that done by the end of this week, hoping to release it on Friday. But I can't guarantee that. If I can release it on Friday, I'll be shipping it on Friday as well. And I will make damn sure that you get it before Christmas if you're looking to give them out for Christmas presents. They'll be limited edition. I'll sign them. I'll give you a good price on them. I mean, my CDs are always $10 no matter what. I've said that from the beginning. It's been 23 years now I've been slinging CDs. And so, you know, and you'll get unreleased music. We'll have some acoustic stuff on there and everything like that. So, you know, stay tuned to blindjoe.com, or if you follow me on any of my social medias there, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, I'm the Blind Joe, and on YouTube, I think I'm Blind Joe Music. So, whether you agree with my lyrics or disagree with them, I hope that we can both agree that, the music that I'm making is real independent country music. And I just want to thank you for any kind of support you throw my way, man, whether it's a couple bucks on the website or just sharing the tunes. It really does mean the world to me, and it's how I support my family. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. Look, and I want to see people do that. Also, just one last thing. There's something you said during the break that they could do on TikTok that would help out, that would actually get it out there more. What is it they can do? I don't even know how TikTok
works. Really. Yeah, you can do edits. So they took my video down, and I put it back up, and I just told people to do edits. So you can go on there and take a video of my video, essentially, like you singing to my video, and I will put it up on my TikTok as well. And this is what we did for I Will Not Comply, because these people, they can't handle when people fight back. And I know you may think, well, this isn't really fighting back, man. This is just kind of silly, childish stuff. These people thrive on silly, childish. That's their whole game. So when you bring it against them, they really have no idea what to do. They just freak out and that's what I want. I want them to freak out because they're child abusing losers and they deserve to freak out.
Exactly. Blind Joe, once again, blindjoe.com. Go there. I also want to thank Ricky Mirandez for being on in the first hour. Of course, Nature Boy for producing the Wednesday Night Wild Card, and all of you for listening. Because after all, I am merely Ocelli, and all of you are indeed the effect. Good night.